we don't have our traveling troops up ahead, get your aid people, we put this one in for them, don't dominate the conversation a bit. Same people following us around, saying the same things over and over. I'm kind of disappointed. They would put up an anti-KVRA sign outside, and I'd say, at this point of the presentation, I'd say, there'll be an anti-KVRA campaign over by the white pickup after we get done here. Let's keep the meeting and discussion focused on the Affordable Power Program. This is not a forum to debate the KVRA, so we'll move forward. The agenda will be introductions. We'll talk about who KVPA is, who COPPA is, what the Affordable Power Program is, how you can participate, and the planned schedule. I'm Holly Cannon, Executive Director of Klamath Water and Power Alliance. This is Julie Matthews, Executive Assistant, and Jan Million of the staff of COPPA. KVPA is the Klamath Basin Power Alliance, was formed by COPPA and the Upper Klamath water users. Its function is to provide the organization that the OFF project can be a part of the KVRA's Affordable Power Program. Because the OFF project folks can't be a member of COPPA, there had to be another organization formed. Here's Mike King. He's our anti-KVRA designate delegate. And
well, you know where I stand, Holly.
I assume your pickup and your sign is out there?
Yeah.
Okay. He's here to campaign against KVRA, so...
I'm here to get answers from you on this power. That's okay. What I'm here for.
This
don't misguide him.
The purpose of KVPA is to form the policies for the guidance of the Affordable Power Program. KVPA has six member board of directors. Carl Strauss is president, Dave Chaska, vice president, Rocky Lesky, secretary treasurer, John Crawford, who's here, Gary Wright, who's here, and Matt Walters. Notice that it's made up of two California on project, two Oregon on project, and two off project members. Because KVPA does not have a source of funding, until KVRA is implemented and the money starts flowing for administration of the Affordable Power Program being administered by COPPA. The history, you guys know a lot more about this than I do, but here, electric costs are a significant part of your cost of operation. The Klamath project never had project power, where most Bureau of Reclamation projects, they build a big dam for the purpose of storing water, and one of the ancillary benefits of that big dam is power production. Here we only needed a 9-foot dam to store all the water, so that doesn't create enough head for power. But Bureau of Reclamation did have the right to generate power on the Klamath River, but they contracted with COPCO, predecessor of Pacific Corp, to do that in 1917 and again in 1956. You got a 50-year contract for affordable power that expired in 2006. As everybody's aware, that has expired. Is there any Oregon irrigators here? Okay, some of you are in Oregon, some in California. California has last year hit tariff. Oregon will hit tariff in April of 2013. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The need of the need for the program is because of that ramp up to tariff rates. This chart here shows what the rates have been. This is for Oregon, Schedule 33. And in Oregon, on project in 2013, you'll be at 9.5 cents. Does anybody here know what California is now?
13 plus, I think.
13? Okay. And that's this presentation is kind of designed around the Bonneville Power Administration Federal Power, which is available for the Oregon loads. So what this program is going to do for California, we're going to have to work hard to get a significant power benefit to California. And that's one of the really tough tasks that the board of directors of KBPA has to decide, is how the KBPA power structure, power rate structure, how, because Coapa or KBPA will receive the power from Bonneville, contract with PPNL or Pacific Corps for the distribution of the power, and have to charge some for administration of it. How do we distribute the cost of power between Oregon and California on project and off project? That's a tough cookie that the board has to deal with. The reason that Pacific Corps' power rates are going to go up is a large piece of their power portfolio is coal-fired power. As EPA begins to regulate CO2 emissions or carbon emissions, Pacific Corps is going to have a significant increase in their cost of generation. At the present time, Pacific Corps actually has fairly reasonable cost of generation. It's the cost of distribution of the power that is kind of out of whack, in my opinion. But the goal is to establish a power price stability. And by that, I mean, if you do, I'm going to do kind of a cartoon graph here. If this is dollars and this is time, and this being today, over time, PPNL's power rate is going to escalate because of their big portfolio of coal-fired power. Either they will have to replace that with something that's costly, or they have to pay a big tax for what they emit. Water-generated power, BPA or Western Area Power, is anticipated to have a slower rate of increase. So we're anticipating that the KBA power will be somewhere in the middle, because we'll be receiving lower cost of generation power, but still have to pay Pacific Corps' cost of distribution. So over time, the federal power component of this program will be more stable. The reason that it will be more stable. Pacific Core is an investor-owned company. It's their responsibility to produce a profit to give to their investors. That's only reasonable. Their investors put money in, their investors expect a return. Pacific Core is regulated by the PUC, so a percentage of their costs of operation is what they get to. Let me say that again. They get to add a percentage to their cost of operation to as a return to their stockholders. So the higher cost of operation they can justify, the more money goes to the stockholders. In a cost-based power rate, which will be what KBPA is, it's the incentive to keep the cost as low as possible. That's the same principle as the neighboring, like Surprise Valley Electric. They're user-owned, they keep their rates down, and everybody that I've talked to in Surprise Valley or Arnie Electric is pretty happy with their power rate. The elements of the Affordable Power Program, we're talking about the federal cost-based power right now, but the other elements in the KBRA are interim power supply benefits. So when KBRA is authorized, there's money there to fight down the electric rate for a period of time, to give time for the federal power program to come into effect. And then the next phase is a renewable power program where we receive money out of KBRA to build renewable generation, which is a profit-making enterprise. We use that profit to buy down the cost of power. And the money coming through the renewable power program is not a gift from the government. It will be used first to develop this profit-making enterprise. When that profit-making enterprise has lowered your power rates to the same rate as similar to neighboring regional USBR power projects, then any profit over that amount, whatever that amount is, you know, that's an amount that has to be determined yet, but any profit beyond that point then goes to repay the federal money that went into the renewable power program. When that's paid back, then that profit comes back and lowers your power rate even more. But we're talking a long ways out in the future for this to happen. The process to establish the Affordable Power Program, the federal portion of this, is interconnection agreements. This is coming under the umbrella of the Bureau of Reclamation, because Reclamation has the authority to receive federal power for its on-project users. So if anybody has an off-project load right now, that can't be part of this program until KBRA is authorized. We're still collecting data and including those loads in what we're doing, but you can't receive the benefit of the federal power until the KBRA is authorized. So, anyway, these agreements have to be established. An agreement between KBPA and Bureau of Reclamation, Bureau of Reclamation and Pacific Core and BPA, and between KBPA and Pacific Core and BPA. Whole basket full of cross-party agreements. Robertson Bryan Incorporated has been hired as a consultant to accomplish this. They started around the 1st of July. The forms that you have in front of you are going to go to them as they manage this. We'll talk about the forms in a bit. And the local administration will be how KVPA receives the power meter information, pays the bills to Pacific Corp and federal entity, and here in California it will be WAPA or Western, and bills you for the power you use. So the forms, Pacific Corp needs a release form, and that's the second form. And so you put, they can only release the data by the owner, if it's requested to be released by the owner of the account. So in some cases, the landowner has rented the land, and the leasee has the power in his name. It needs to be the leasee that requests the that signs this form. If you have a diesel pump that someday you want to go to electric, go ahead and fill out a form. You know, we can't request anything from Pacific Corp because it's not an existing load, but we want to know how much load is out there that would like to become part of this program. So, Julie, is there something about...
Oh, yeah. On this one part, right in the middle, types of information, please initial. You need to initial that. Texas don't count, check marks don't count. You need to be your initials.
And that's not our requirement, that's Pacific Corp's requirement.
That's Pacific.
We're getting a lot of forms with check marks there saying, release these things, and they want it initial. Pacific Corp will be, when they receive these forms, they will be calling you to verify that you are the one that turned in the form. The first form is a form designed by Robertson Bryan. The purpose of it is so that Stuart Robertson can take PP&L's data. I keep calling it PP&L, it's Pacific Corp. Pacific Corp reads the meters once a month, and the information we're going to get from them is 1 month blocks. How much power have you used in a month? BPA and Western want the power information in hourly increments. So Stuart Robertson, in trying to take 1 month blocks of information and chop it up into 1 hour increments without getting real complicated on the form, has developed this table. And the purpose of it is for him to get some idea of how you use your water so that he can try to predict when you hit your peak power usage. So the fourth column over is irrigation cycle, hours per day. The example is if you have a pivot and you turn it on, runs for 4 days, and it would be 24 hours a day irrigation cycle for 4 days. Then we could have your horsepower and the number of acres irrigated. If you have something like a solid set on a field of potatoes, then do you typically irrigate during the day, you know, 12 hours during the daylight hours, 12 hours during the nighttime hours? That's what he's looking for there, is how, when are you typically on, when are you typically all of Oregon on and off project loads. The what we're signing up for here, the power that we can justify will be tier one or preference power. We will be allowed load growth at tier two, which is basically market rate power. So we want as much power under tier one as we can get. Coapa has already received a very small allotment of Western Area Power. It's about enough power to run two or three of Earl's pumps. So it's not a lot of power. I think I estimated that it was enough power to run 10 100 horse pumps all summer long. The one thing that Access to Western gives us is their services of buying spot market power. part of what Stuart will need to do is evaluate what that service, what the cost of that service is going to be by the time the power is delivered to the pump. We're not saying that at this stage you're going to be a lot cheaper than tariff. We're anticipating being cheaper than tariff, but we don't know how much. We anticipate over time, though, of being significantly cheaper than tariff. But we have to start somewhere. Go ahead. So I always say that the benefits are not totally defined until we know what the load is. And it becomes kind of a chicken and egg thing here, which comes first. We can't tell you what your benefits are until we know what the size and shape of the load is. But you don't want to sign up until you know what the baggage is. But we can't tell you that until we know what the size and shape of the load is. So the process you're in here is you're signing up for an option to make a decision later. If you don't option now, you cannot make that decision later. So if you option to participate now, when we have the answers for you, and I don't know whether that's going to be 4 months or 6 months down the road, then you can look at what the baggage is. Then you can say, make a decision, whether a business decision, whether this program fits you or whether you're better off with Pacific Corps. I'm going to skip this part. I already went over that we have a small amount of energy from Western, that we have, but being a Western customer, we have access to their market. You know, there are other services besides power. I already talked about the renewable power. Let's go on. Eligibility will be for agriculture pumping and drainage pumping, electric loads, within the boundaries of the former 1956 contract. In Oregon, that is Schedule 33. California, it's Schedule 20. In Oregon, your bill will say Schedule 33 on one side, and it might say Schedule 35 or 41 in another place. What it is Pacific Corps has the boundaries, the irrigation pumping within the boundaries of the 56 contract are all Schedule 33. With divisions for on-project and off-project being rate code 35 for off-project and rate code 41 for on-project. Now, is that the current schedule in California?
No. 20 is current, 40 is new.
40 is the old.
Yeah, 40 was the old one. Okay. So if you're looking at an old bill, you're looking for Schedule 40. If you're looking at a new bill, that's Schedule 20. As I said, the additional criteria, the baggage that goes with this, we're still going to get that figured out before you have to come in, whether you're in or out. RBI wanted the forms in by October 7th. Everybody's so busy that, you know, a lot of your neighbors haven't had a chance, don't even know that this is going on because they're harvesting right now. we went back to RBI and said, RBI set this date by working backwards from what they have to accomplish and setting a timeline. But if we don't get people signed up, it doesn't matter what the timeline is. So we talked RBI into that the absolute deadline is November 30th. We want your forms in as soon as possible so that we can get that information flowing from Pacific Corps to Robertson Bryant so they can start building their database. If we can get the bulk of it done here in the next 30 days, then, or in the next 2 weeks basically, then they don't have a big wad of information to process all at once on November 30th. So completing the forms, already covered that. Where to find the forms? We have them in our office. The forms are here. You can also get them online at the quapa.org website. We need each form signed and returned to our office. There's the fax number, and there's the telephone number, and there's an email. So, and I think all that's in your information there somewhere. So we've had 6 meetings scheduled. We're here on the 5th of the 6th of the 6 meetings. The next one is October 3rd at the WAPA office, and Stuart Robertson will be there next Monday. So next steps is decide whether or not you want to participate in the program. If you want the option, sign the forms, get them in to us, and we'll move forward from there. So any questions? Gary?
I just want to encourage folks to lease these, to get out, talk to their landlords, especially those out of town that are actually paying the electric. A lot of this isn't going to get done unless you contact them.
Other questions? Mike?
Where do you say if it's on or off project in this form?
What's that?
Where do you say if your pump is on or off project in this form? How will they know?
They will know by your Pacific Corps will know by your the account number.
So Pacific Corps won't have to tell us.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't be making judgment.
Now, if you sign a contract, and let's say you lose your lease on that piece of property with that meter, does that contract stays with that meter, or how's that going to work out? Because, you know, we ship land all the time.
Yeah, and that's... We don't
know. The landlord says, hell, I'm getting my piece of property back, and then it reverts back in his name. He might not like your contract, you know, and he said, hell, this is higher than the church at this time, or it might be lower. So, you know, it's a shot in the dark on these. If I'm signing up lease, you know, ground, I'm leasing from people.
Yeah. And that, we know that we're signing.
And if it's a binding contract, you know, that stays with the site, and we're leaving it, it's more than me than one person, you know, versus. Yeah. Lots of people skipping around land.
We have some things that have to be decided. I've talked to Paul Simmons about this because, in my mind, the KDRA is about the reason you farmers want to, I'm not saying want to be part of KVRA, the reason you are willing to participate in KVRA primarily is the affordable power. What you're giving up is water to get affordable power. The logic here is if we're making, you know, the cooperative's doing the on-project plan that is designing how you're going to give up water. Well, on the other side, you need to receive that low-cost power. If there's somebody out here with a flood-irrigated pasture that wants to go to sprinklers so that he can fit within the allotment, why is it that because he's not a Pacific Core customer now, he can't be part of the affordable power program in the future? That should the affordable power program is low-cost power for water. That should be forever in the future. Paul's working on that. We need the ability to grow the power load. In my mind, that's what the KVRA is about, is bringing low-cost power not only for the existing pumps, but future growth. So what you're saying is a question I don't have an answer for. We're working on it.
Yeah, because what happens, we sign up for this program, and it looks good, and all of a sudden, it could be higher than the surge rate. You can't really guarantee what the rate's going to be.
Can't guarantee.
And it might not be that golden egg out of the goose. The landlord said, no, I don't want this. And then he's right. Stuck with it with his pump site.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be a liability problem, too.
It could be. Yeah.
And it'd already come back on whoever signed the original contract. You know, the grower.
Yeah. And that's one of the questions that will be answered in the negotiations of, can you move away from Pacific Core and back to Pacific Core? Yeah. Pacific Core is not happy about this whole process. But Pacific Core has things they want out of the Klamath Hydro Settlement Agreement. So they're willing to lose some of their customers to get what they want. But they don't want to give up any more of their customers than they have to. So there's still things to be defined. Other questions?
I think you'd be doing your landlord a disservice by not signing it up at that time.
Right now it's an option. You'll have those answers before you have to commit.
Yeah.
It's non-committal right now. But if you don't opt in now, and we do have something you like later, you can't sign up once we do have the answers.
But what I'm saying is, once you sign this, does it stick with the pump site forever?
We don't know
when
this
I
site.
Leave.
We will know.
My contract is breached.
We'll know later
we'll know
before
later.
You. See,
we
this is an option, so it's not a commitment.
It's a two-step process.
No, because I ain't going to sign something for my landlord if he's got to be stuck with it.
And I wouldn't either. But if it's an option.
It could be a liability. Somebody said it could be the golden egg, you know, and I don't know for sure.
Right.
But you're not committing to anything right now.
Yeah.
So are the bills coming to you?
Yeah, they're coming to me.
Are they in his name?
No. I'm paying the power on the pumps.
But
it's on his property.
But is it listed in his name, you paying the power?
No.
Okay. So the meter, the name on the account is your name, even though it's the landlord's land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Site.
So...
And I got several like that. It
yeah.
just ain't one, you know.
And sometimes it's a reverse situation.
Yeah.
But by signing this option, you will be able to, you know, as we go through the negotiation process with Pacific Core and Western, a lot of those questions will be answered. And then before you have to sign a contract, you will have the answers to those questions and be able to make that decision.
The meter number and everything stays at the site, you know,
yeah.
lose your lease or move
right.
on. You you know, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's a good question.
That is. And I just spoke. It doesn't mean you can't sign up again. It's just to get the tier one, the better price. You need to opt in now because we have to, that's what they're setting the high water mark for the tier one. And then anything after that might be more expensive. You can sign on, but it might be a better price.
Well,
you're taking notes about important questions that have come up. Is that one of them? And also, will that be available to the public? It's likely point put up when you have these answers, will you put up on your website or something?
Online.
These are the answers to the questions that were asked.
We'll have them ongoing, and as we get them answered, we'll update.
Okay. I have a second question. What's the difference between tariff and market rates? Because you use those two never interchangeably. They're always in a different conversation altogether.
Market rate is if you're selling power. Tariff rate is, so you can, if you're a large power user, you can go out and you can contract with a power seller to buy power that they're generating.
And that's market.
And that's market. Then you have to pay for the transportation of that power to your place of use.
And tariff is that sort of bundled approach that Pacific Power uses.
Right. Tariff is the rate that a utility charges its customers.
Okay. That's funny. Thanks.
Any other questions?
At a TID meeting lately, they said that there would probably be something in this that, you know, that we would sign later that we would need to support, like the KBRA or something. It was a little foggy. I was just trying to clarify it.
Whatever the requirements in the that are in the KBRA will be part of what's required for this program. I do know that if you're a member of an irrigation district that signed the KBRA, then there's no other requirement. The district's membership or the district signing the KBRA completed your requirements to participate. Does that make sense? You have a puzzled look.
Yeah, it does. But then if the irrigation district signs on to this power rate, that doesn't cover us. We still individually
right.
need to sign on.
Because the irrigation district has its own
right.
own pumps, and they can only sign up their own their own power rates.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason that what I brought up the other day, it was foggy to me also, but off-project folks as individuals have not signed on the KBRA.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to have to sign on as whatever you want to call it. There's going to be a clause that takes sign on. If you're a member of a project that has signed up or a district, you're already in.
Okay.
Ready to go have dinner?
I have one more question, Holly.
Yeah.
What was the acre feet that were given out away for this cheaper power rate of water?
It varies year by year depending upon the complex formula of what the water supply is.
Have you got an estimate of, like, this is a good year?
As a rough overall, it's, I say, 20 to 25%. You know, that's... But it varies year to year. MBK has a chart where there's a lot of years where the KBRA allotment is more than we need. There's a lot of years like that. Go ahead, Earl.
Well, I don't agree with you when you say you're giving it away. What we've got is, hopefully, I'm going to say hopefully, a certainty of water every year so we don't walk into 2001. You're in the project, you know what happened in 2001.
I was there.
And that is what KBRA is attempting or will prevent. Now, yes, there may be reduced amount at certain times, but you got to realize 2010 wasn't exactly a pretty year, and that's without KDRA. KDRA did help us, not KDRA itself, but the contacts made in KDRA helped the project get started a lot earlier with more water than we would have had without it. So I don't feel like we're giving up water. But we're getting a better certainty of water.
That's
I hate to use the word certainty because nothing's certain in this world, but it improves the outlook tremendously. Okay? I just don't like to hear you say.
Well, on that comment is there's only one thing, because I was here in 2001. We were right in the middle of it at the head gates, and under the KBRA, and I've gone through all of it. It still does not reform the ESA to do what, because what happened in 2001 came from the Endangered Species Act. And through the KBRA, there's nothing to still keep that from happening again. Not one word, not one letter in the whole contract, you know, that big thick book, or the KHA say. There's nothing to stop the Endangered Species Act from doing the same thing they did to us in 2001. Not one word, not one letter to do that.
I sure don't want to go into 2001 again.
Oh, no, hell no. None of us do.
We have a lot better chance
yes.
under KBRA than we did before. I will be the first to say, certainty is a really nice word, but there is no certainty in this world. Well, there is,
right.
There is certainty in this world.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it is.
That's the ending. That's the end. Yep.
And thank you, Earl, for doing that. That was a very well put statement and very accurate. In 2010, we were facing a 2001 situation. They were saying maybe the project turning on in late July. With the KBRA allotment, where we received 180,000 acre feet of water in 2010, and under the KBRA, we would have received 330. We would have received our usual allotment, 330,000. So there would not have needed to have been any land idling, which was in total about 40 or 45,000 acres that could have grown crops that didn't, and we would have only needed to take about half as much water out of the groundwater if last year KBRA had been implemented. So, but Earl's point is, instead of hitting those years like 2010 or 2001, you have a certainty, so you have a starting place that you 2009, you didn't get to start on time, which throws everything out of balance. You have a certainty of an amount of water. You know what that is, March 1st, and Earl can start planning how he's going to run his system. And that's what the KBRA does.
Not that this is a platform to
take
the KBRA.
Right. Well, it needed to be explained.
Right.
You know, the question was, how much do we give away? And I answered that question very poorly, and Earl covered for me.
Well, Vince was brought up, I want to say something.
Okay.
2011, we were faced with over 4,000 CSF going down the river for the whole month of June and most of May, which would have put us in dire straits about the middle of July when we really needed it. Because of the KBRA and what's going on with the tribes downriver and the Bureau and NIMS, we were able to modify that and create a situation in a wet year that could have been a dry year, where we all irrigated and everything turned out fine. We've got a lot more work to do on that BO, and that's what this KBRA is about. So, even on a wet year, we'd have been in trouble.
One of the benefits of this year was some change in staffing and proclamation. Or that's my opinion. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Would the power program apply to groundwater pumps?
Yeah. As long as it's in that 50-cent boundary. Irrigation and drainage pumping.
Another new well.
That goes back to what I was talking about in health centers. You know, I think it's really important that be covered. But as I said when we began, there's a lot of questions we don't have answers for right now.
I think that's one specific question.